In a world with so many uncertain and confusing voices, isn't it wonderful to know that there is an objective truth outside of ourselves? That truth is found in the Word of God. That word, which Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible is our foundation, and through it we learn the good news of Jesus Christ, the Gospel. This is Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff of the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. We invite you to join us today as we mine the riches of God's Word, searching as for hidden treasure, that we might understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Here's our pastor and teacher, Wes Bradenhoff.
Good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Gospel Talk. I'm glad that you've joined me again this afternoon. This week on Gospel Talk, we've been considering Daniel chapter 3, the well-known passage about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the fiery furnace and how God delivered them from that. Well, today we've come to the end of chapter 3 and this remarkable part of the chapter where Nebuchadnezzar praises God. Verse 28 of chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this." And the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So on the day they were delivered from idolatry and fire, it wasn't Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who praised God. At least, we don't read about them praising God in the Bible. Now, the emphasis here is on Nebuchadnezzar and what Nebuchadnezzar says and Nebuchadnezzar's praise for God. Now, it's very easy, as I mentioned yesterday, at this point, to get drawn into a discussion of what the king said, closely examining it, trying to figure out whether he was really sincere, trying to determine whether he was regenerate, whether he was born again. And then Nebuchadnezzar, because later on it appears that he doesn't really believe because he still holds on to his idols, then Nebuchadnezzar becomes a figure who warns us about having a confession on our lips that doesn't match what's in our hearts or in our lives. He becomes an illustration of what Christ said in Matthew 7:21. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven." You know, if you read the commentaries on Daniel chapter 3, there are many Bible scholars that do exactly that. They make an example out of Nebuchadnezzar, and a negative example. And there may be some truth in that, but I'm not convinced that this is what's really emphasized, what's really central here in this passage. Of course, it's true. Nebuchadnezzar doesn't give any evidence of abandoning his gold image or any of his other idols for that matter. He doesn't acknowledge the Lord, Yahweh, to be the only true God. We have silence on those things. And where there's silence in the Bible, I would suggest, friends, that we should always be careful. Not only that, but the book of Daniel tells us more about Nebuchadnezzar. In chapter 4, he has a remarkable experience which leads him closer to the truth. You know, the bottom line is that we simply don't know how Nebuchadnezzar stood with respect to God. We don't know whether Nebuchadnezzar was a believer, whether he was on good standing with God, whether he became a child of God. And you know what? That's not the point of this passage. God hasn't given us this passage of Daniel so we can try and figure out the spiritual status of Nebuchadnezzar. Rather, God has given us this passage of Daniel so that we would see him, the mighty delivering God, and not Nebuchadnezzar. God is the subject of Daniel 3, not the king, not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Although what God is doing with those three men and how he delivers them is central. But nevertheless, God is the main subject, the main actor, if you want, in this drama. And so it was God who put these words of praise in Nebuchadnezzar's mouth. God gets praised for sending his angel to rescue the three men. God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to see that these men had done something positive and praiseworthy in refusing to obey the king's command. God brought the king to make a decree whereby it was now illegal in the Babylonian Empire for anyone to say anything dishonoring about the true God. God turned the tables, you see. Previously, it was some of the Babylonians who were watching to see if they could accuse the Jews of disobedience. Now, the Jews scattered throughout the Babylonian Empire could bring before the courts those who might blaspheme the true God. And if any would do such a thing, they were to be punished with death, and their houses were to be made into, it says in this translation that I have in front of me, the New King James Version, an ash heap. Other translations have piles of rubble. Could also translate that more graphically, public toilets. And why was such a decree made? Because the king said, no other god can save in this way. Nebuchadnezzar had never seen anything like this. He'd never seen a god deliver people from a fiery furnace. Do you think about that for a moment? What a great and mighty God we have. He can and he does save. He deserves to be honored by us. And by all people, we ought to be impressed with this God, to stand in awe of him, yes, even to fear him. He saved from idolatry, he saved through fire, and he also saved for service. In the last verse of the chapter, we read that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were promoted by the king in the province of Babylon. Previously, they had already been set over the affairs of that province, but it now appears that they're given even more authority, even more responsibility. Their lives were saved by God for a purpose, that they might continue to serve in the Babylonian Empire. And here again, there's a familiar pattern from the entire Bible. Right after the Exodus from Egypt, God spoke to his people at Mount Sinai. He told them that they had been delivered for service to him. He said, "You shall be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." We find the same pattern continued in the New Testament. After laying out the glorious teachings regarding our salvation in Christ, Paul says in Romans 12, verse 1, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." That's Romans 12:1. Over and over we see it in the Bible. God delivers his people. He sets them free so that they would serve him. That's true for us too, isn't it? Through Christ, God has rescued us from the curse and the power of sin so that we would serve. Now, perhaps we wouldn't serve in government. That's not ruled out. That may be a good idea. But we can and we must serve in a variety of other ways. Serving God in our daily work, our families, our church life, and so on. Service can rightly be described as a mark of a Christian. It certainly is a fruit of faith, isn't it? It's worked in our lives by the Holy Spirit. So let me ask you today, you're resting and trusting in Christ? You've been redeemed by Christ? You're a Christian. Where and how are you serving? Well, let me take that a little bit further. I know there are people who are listening to this program who are on the older side of the spectrum and some who are on the younger side of the spectrum. And both of them have something in common. And this goes for all of us, actually. But for the very old and the very young, they're both limited, or they may feel limited in what they can do as far as service goes. Being very young, there's very little that you can do in the church and in society. You're still growing and maturing. But being very old, you may be limited by the health of your body or even your mind. You may be housebound, shut in, unable to get out. Well, you know what, friends? There's still a way for you to serve. And it's one of the most powerful forms of service that we have as Christians. and that's prayer. Prayer, yes. There are many different causes that we can pray for, many different people. We can pray for our family members. We can pray for our government officials. We can pray for our president or our prime minister, for our representatives in Congress or in the Senate, or our MPs or MLAs. We can pray for missionaries whom we support. We can pray for our pastors, for elders in the church, for people who serve in various capacities. And we could draw out this list extensively. Prayer is a powerful act of service that everyone, every believer, can and must be engaged in. I urge you not to forget those well-known words of James 5:16. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Well, back on Monday, we began considering Daniel 3 with that illustration about Ed Welch and his struggles with the fear of man. He was up for an award, and he was afraid that he would get it, and he was afraid that he wouldn't get it. And eventually, as Ed Welch grew older and matured, he came to recognize this for the idolatry that it was. And he says in his book, when people are big and God is small, he says that he's making progress in overcoming this idolatry. How can he say that? How can anyone say that? Only because his God is the Most High God. He is the one who delivers his servants who trust in him and in his Son, Jesus Christ. And so when each of us look in faith to Christ, when we believe his word, when through the power of the Holy Spirit we want to follow him and serve him, I can assure you that he will deliver us from idolatry. And he will do so from every other sin as well. He'll do that in a preliminary way in this life and in this age. But in the age to come, he will do so fully and completely. We will finally be free. Well, I hope this message and the messages over the last couple of days have been encouraging to you and helpful for you. If you have any questions about anything you've heard on the program today or in the past few days, any questions at all actually about the Bible or about the Christian faith, feel free to contact me. You can email me, gospeltalk@hotmail.com. You can also leave a comment or a question at the blog, gospeltalkradio.blogspot.com. At the blog, you also have an opportunity to download programs you may have missed and resources that are mentioned on the program. gospeltalkradio.blogspot.com. Well, thanks for listening today, and tomorrow I'll be joined by Pastor Chris Gordon as we have a roundtable discussion of important issues. Hope you'll join us. Till then, may God continue to richly bless you.
It was great that you could join us today for Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. This program has come to you today through the generous support of the Yarrow Canadian Reformed Church. You can find the church in Yarrow at 42285 Yarrow Central Road. Worship services are at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. every Sunday. You can find more information about the Yarrow Canadian Reformed Church at the website www.yarrow.canrc.org. That website again, www.yarrow.canrc.org. If you'd like more information on the program, please drop us a line through the mail. Gospel Talk, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, B.C. The postal code V2Z1B3. That address again, Gospel Talk, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, B.C. Postal code V2Z1B3. You can drop us a line by email, gospeltalk@hotmail.com. Again, that's Gospel Talk, all one word, at hotmail.com. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-866-288-1087. Again, that number, 1-866-288-1087. We trust that this program has helped you to fix your eyes on Jesus Christ again today. This has been Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. And be sure to stay tuned tomorrow morning at 8:30 for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, right here on AM 550 KARI.